Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
Just should be another minute.
Next tomorrow,
He froze again now.
Okay, we are live.
I literally saw this on Twitter, and we'd gotten no notice, no heads up, but he had like a 90-minute roundtable.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go ahead and start.
Okay.
Welcome everyone to our virtual environmental roundtable.
You know, given that this was, on his Facebook account, I don't know that there was a need for to be secretive.
My name is Matt Monticchio. I am the district director for Congressman Pallone.
Frank Pallone is one of the most powerful members of Congress, and I don't say that lightly, but he's the chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee, which has one of really the most expansive portfolios of things that are under its jurisdiction. That's everything from energy, climate, healthcare, tech policy, and Congressman Pallone is fiercely protective of that jurisdiction. So anything that's going to happen on climate and energy policy this Congress is going to go through him.
I'm Carlos Prieto. This is Politico Energy. Today,
President Biden has already done a bunch of executive orders to try to undo some of the environmental damage. And there's going to be a lot more opportunities to do things on climate change in particular.
I'm checking in with our host and Congress energy policy reporter, Anthony Adragna, about the top energy lawmaker and what climate legislation he expects now that Democrats control Congress and the White House. It's Tuesday, January 26th. Kind of wild that Energy and Commerce Committee has that much oversight. It's kind of like the Biden committee, if you think about it, and all the challenges that the Biden administration is going to have in the next couple of years. So Monday morning, and really your week, kind of started off with listening to a 90-plus minute roundtable with him. What was he talking about there?
Yeah, this was a roundtable with folks back in New Jersey, but that was available for all of us. And in that, Congressman Pallone basically said he intends to be quite aggressive with climate action this Congress. He intends to move things through an infrastructure package. He intends to pursue budget reconciliation if they can't find consensus and get 60 votes on that. And that many of the ideas that he hopes to advance through climate change have been included in prior iterations of bills that his committee drafted last Congress, or that passed as part of the House's infrastructure package last year as well.
Most of the things that I talked about today that didn't get done in the end of the year package were bipartisan. They passed the House overwhelmingly, but McConnell wouldn't bring them up in the Senate.
So we've talked quite a bit already about how much Biden can do without Congress, especially on fighting climate change. And it's not even been a week, and you know, we already see him slowing down the process of opening the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, blocking Keystone XL pipeline. But did Congressman Pallone give us an idea of what the president's going to try to do with Congress?
Yes. Biden has laid out an emergency COVID package that he would very much like to advance. Republicans and some Democrats now have blushed at the $1.9 trillion price tag. But Congressman Pallone sees that there's going to be action on COVID relief to begin with, and that shortly after that, he said within a month or two, there's going to be a push on infrastructure as part of a recovery package.
You know, maybe another couple months or whenever, we're going to see a major economic package, which probably will include an infrastructure bill. If not, there'll be a third bill, which will be an infrastructure bill.
And I think he sees that as the natural place for a lot of these climate ideas to be included. I think he'd like to get a lot of those ideas across the finish line this year. Senate Democrats are going to obviously have different ideas as well, but it is important to have him outline how he sees the year unfolding.
I want to hone in on that a little bit. Is there support in Congress to push climate change provisions through an infrastructure package, or is he Pallone in this?
Well, TBD, but at least what Pallone outlined is this idea that you would pass a COVID bill dedicated pretty finely and only to COVID relief, and then come back and take a second crack at doing an infrastructure package and including big climate language provisions as part of that. I think Democrats are largely on board with that. Whether that is able to be done through regular order, getting 60 votes for a package, or whether Democrats resort to using budget reconciliation, that's kind of the question of the day here in Washington.
We're going to try to be ambitious, but I got to be honest and say that we're still, we're still dealing with a Senate that's 50-50. And if the 60 rule holds and you have to do things through reconciliation, it's going to be more limited.
In that call, Congressman Pallone also said that reconciliation, which is the process through which Democrats could pass significant bills in the Senate with just a 50+1 majority, can actually hurt the scope of their climate agenda. Why is that?
It's because reconciliation is only supposed to do with provisions that relate to the budget, that relate to spending. And so that narrows the scope necessarily of what things you can include.
It's nice that we have a majority, but it's a 50-50 majority. You know, can we get 60 votes in the Senate to do a very aggressive climate action plan? Who knows?
That narrows the scope quite a bit of what's possible. So you could obviously get a lot of major things included, whether those are tax incentives for the renewable power industry. There are a lot of ideas that Democrats have honed in on that could very well be included in reconciliation that would have a big impact on climate. But the scope itself would be quite narrowed to that universe of provisions that affects spending directly.
Going back to Congressman Pallone, he also talked about a clean energy standard that kind of surprised some people. Why is that?
Yeah, this was definitely the eyebrow-raising moment. So there's been a lot of talk in Democratic circles about, you know, whether there should be a renewed push for carbon pricing, for example. Congressman Pallone indicated he didn't think a clean energy standard could be included as part of reconciliation.
That's authorization, and that's a lot harder to justify and probably wouldn't survive under the so-called Byrd rule.
There's a lot of debate about that. There's no consensus, no agreement. But that is one of the biggest tools that Democrats have thought of as a potential way of making a big impact on climate change. If Pallone's ruling it out here, that takes that tool out of their toolkit. Also, the company behind the first major offshore wind farm in America wants the Biden administration to allow construction to restart. Last month, the Trump administration canceled a permit that allowed Vineyard Wind to build a wind farm off the coast of Massachusetts, after the company allowed for a brief pause to revisit its design. And according to Reuters, part of the reasoning in canceling the permit had to do with concerns that the turbines would interfere with commercial fishing. But yesterday, the company told the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management that changes to its design were not necessary. If completed, Vineyard Wind is expected to power more than 400,000 homes in Massachusetts. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. If you like our show, then like it. Leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It helps more people find the show. I'm Anthony Adragna. Talk to you again tomorrow.
Last year, Chevron invested billions of dollars to bring affordable, reliable, ever cleaner energy to America. Because it's only human to work toward a brighter future. Learn more at chevron.com.